standing by the front door, looking through the window that allowed us to see past the dining room and into the kitchen, my sister, brother, and I stood fixated by the sight of our mother grabbing dishes from the cupboard and hurling them to the floor, using both hands for maximum force, spitting out her grievances with a passion and a voice we didn't recognize. We were mute, our eyes wide, our mouths slacked as we watched on, ducking below the window whenever she happened to turn in our direction. She may have seen us, but it had no effect on the process. She continued to rant and smash until she had either obliterated everything she found offensive or her anger had been sufficiently vented. I remember nothing about what precipitated this awesome and terrifying display of fury. My guess is we were outside playing when it began. As an adult looking back nearly 50 years, I can imagine any number of reasons for her outrage, all of them pointing to our father. She may have just learned that he had gambled away his paycheck, gotten arrested for drunk driving again, or had found evidence of another affair. At our tender ages of 9, 6, and 4, we knew nothing of the obstacles to a happy home life that our mother had faced from the beginning of their marriage. All we could sense was that something had gone terribly wrong in our world. When at last the ear-splitting din abruptly stopped and our mother left the room, presumably to have herself a good cry or a good think, I remember creeping into the kitchen by way of the garage and silently picking up the remnants of demolished dinnerware, the three of us bobbing up and down like little chickens as we endeavored to clean up the mess while making as little sound as possible. We may have been crying silently. I don't remember. But I do remember we had been scared into our best behavior. I also recall discovering our mother had limited her destruction to mostly the cheap stuff, leaving behind enough dishes to keep us from eating off paper plates. I remember feeling relieved that some of the treasured Stangle blueberry pottery had survived. Finding those hand-painted berries at the bottom of our yellow plates and bowls was one of those rituals fond childhood memories had been founded on. Looking back at her restraint, I wonder if it had been proximity alone that caused her to demolish the mismatched and plastic dishes, or if whatever precipitated the fit of rage had been aggravated by the fact she now found herself as a working mom with three young kids and an unreliable womanizer for a husband, constantly stretching every nickel as far as it would go. Did she wonder how she could have exhibited such bad judgment to have given up the solid, perhaps uneventful life with her first husband for this, being hamstrung by debt and the obligation of children, constantly forced to appeal for her parents for help? What I came to realize about our family as I started going to sleepovers was how closed in our nucleus was. I don't remember my parents ever entertaining. The cut crystal and the silver kept wrapped in plastic, remnants of our mother's first marriage, only came out of the cupboards on Thanksgiving or Christmas. As children, we got a big thrill out of their appearance, but I wonder how my father felt about being reminded of his wife's former life. He was a man already plagued by insecurity. Unlike my mother, his fits of temper were frequent and impossible to avoid, and more unfathomable when fueled by alcohol. There were numerous reasons no one ever came over to our house, and when I realized how secluded our home life was compared to that of my friends, it shamed me. By the age of 12, I understood we were different, closed down, flawed in some way not easily discernible to a child. Prior to and even after I began to feel the prison-like quality of our home, the one shared pride and joy was our mother.